Welcome. Ostensibly, this is the 400th episode of this show. However, we're not celebrating yet. Because we have done about 11, you know, rewinds, encores.
What do they call it? Yeah, reruns?
Reruns, whatever you want to call it.
I feel like rerun's not a term no more.
Yeah, I know, because it don't really exist anymore, right?
But then, like, but people go back and watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You're watching a rerun.
Yeah, it's a rerun, but yeah. But you're doing the running, right?
Yeah, they're always there.
They are always, always there. The streaming age is a different time for all of us. But yeah, so I don't know. We'll try to cook up something special, something actually special. Today is just us. Just us.
It's the boys.
Yeah, it's adult talk. Kids aren't allowed.
No kids allowed, yeah.
P. Diddy's in Antigua. Whoa.
P. Diddy's in Antigua. That is just like...
I don't know what's going on, man. My Twitter's crazy right now. I just can't even keep up. Because in the like half of it is just allegations. Not Diddy. Yeah. Obviously, if you're getting raided by Homeland Security, probably something's going on. I don't know. I don't really know how the back end on Homeland Security works. And I don't even know, is Homeland Security the one supposed to be doing that? I don't know how any of that works either.
Is that who's raiding him?
Supposedly. I think it was Homeland Security get hit his Miami and his L.A. house. But then even that, like, I don't know who the fuck's reporting it.
Yeah.
You know? What does any of that mean to me? I literally just, maybe I'm going insane, but I just trust nothing and no one because my Twitter's crazy. Everyone's saying, like, well, where's Jay-Z? And everyone's trying to say he's the next one to do all this shit. All that, what they're saying. Not Mike saying. Mike's not saying shit. Mike's just reading.
He got stream sniped.
They're going crazy.
He got stream sniped IRL.
Yeah, they're going crazy at Jay-Z. They're going crazy at P. Diddy. They're whipping out interviews that happen, you know, from because P. Diddy's been the guy since like 1991.
Yeah,
he's found a long time. Yeah, like every artist ever. So there's interviews of like Usher from 2016 coming out with some weird statements. Nothing like, you know, super revealing, but shit that makes you raise your eyebrow now in hindsight kind of stuff. Justin Bieber came up in that crew. I mean, everyone came up in that crew. His own wife, I think he's only been married once. But his wife was one of his artists, Cassie. I don't even think that's her name. That's her artist name. Yeah, there's weird shit. There's weird shit going on in the world. Another fucking royalties tagged into this.
To that one?
Yeah.
Who?
Prince Harry.
What? Oh.
His name's mentioned like multiple times in the allegations. Not that he did anything. He's not alleged yet, but his name's tied in because he used to kick it with P. Diddy all the time. Yeah. It's weird.
It's getting a little interesting.
Yeah. It's weird.
I'm looking for, and I can't find it now, of course. The phrase in Australian slang where if somebody sticks their head up too far, you chop it off.
I don't know.
It's a flower reference, and I can't think of what it is at the moment. I'm dying because I can't think of it.
This I don't know.
But I kind of wonder about that. Like, I mean, these sound like very serious allegations.
Yeah, there's like four real ones I think out right now.
And as you know pointed out, he's been around and been like had his head above the crowd for a long time. So, you know, not maybe that. But then you and I were discussing this article that was in New York Magazine about Huberman. And when I encountered it was on Twitter.
Yeah.
X, whatever. And there are all these people like rushing to say, oh, you know, this guy's just trying to do good stuff. And, you know, just because he fucked around with a bunch of women.
Yeah.
On his girlfriend or whatever, or people said that he did, and there are all these people coming forward to try to chop him down because he's like suddenly a big figure
yeah.
when he was nobody, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't know his rise was that fast.
It's fast.
Because yeah. I know, just like in our space, so many people like posted about his
we know podcast. At least four people who've been on his show.
Yeah, that too. But even before that, people were posting about his podcast that I knew. Yeah. I guess it's 4 years ago, but it feels like forever ago. Because they said like 2020 you started this podcast, yeah? Or 2021.
Yeah, 2021, I think. Yeah.
And obviously you go on Lex Friedman's podcast and you go on Joe Rogan's podcast, you kind of just get a trampoline into relevancy.
I guess, yeah.
You know, those are easy bounds to start a career.
But I mean, it really comes down to the fact that the guy talks very sciencey, and he communicates a lot of like warmth and concern, and is very not sort of wellness oriented, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
and he is relatable to that extent. The language he uses. In the article we read or you shared with me, they talked a lot about that and like analyzed why he is who he is or why he's popular.
Yeah.
And some of it I tied into Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like language and why he's popular. Neil like looks more like a nerd, you know, but he uses like nerdy languages, and they talk about talking you up. And I feel like Neil does that kind of.
Yeah.
And Huberman obviously does that which has always been like the opposite of my approach to everything. Cause I do feel, and I think this is like a universal agreement or a universal thing people believe, that like, if you're a true expert, you can talk dumb about it, right? You simplify complex things. And that's what this article kind of said, that he doesn't do that, but that he purposely uses big language,
right,
or like technical language to keep you in the loop, which kind of seems like backwards to me in a sense. Lane Norton's a really good example where I think he does like probably the best balance of both.
Yeah.
He's not using total layman's terms, but he's not using all technical terms. He kind of balances it. Our buddy Jordan Syatt's really good at taking the complex and making it crazy simple.
Yeah.
You know, making a step one through three on everything. And to me, that's like the goal of mass communication, right? Like, why are we... Yeah, I don't know. I understood how the guy explained it in the article and why Huberman is like that, but I guess there's not that many examples I could think of that do that.
Yeah.
And succeed. Because it doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. And then, but of course, what happens then is that people, it's like he's borrowing vocabulary from science and outside of his field, because his field is very, very narrow.
Yeah, narrower than even I thought.
Yeah, super narrow. Yeah. Just visual.
Yeah, mice. He's a mice eyes pro.
Yes.
Because I knew he was a neurologist, which could be a very broad category, right? And it could tie more into wellness than just your eyes.
Yeah.
And not that he doesn't know. Like, obviously, he's been, you know, he's a scientist. I'm sure he knows other neurological factors much better than I. But then the other thing is his relatability and how he looks, right? He's tatted. He curses a little bit. He looks cool. He's like the cool dad.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a cool, your friend's cool dad, rather than like some dorky guy that you'd expect from Stanford.
Kind of the neurology. Only thing he's missing is the that usually makes all this stuff work very well is the military connection.
Yeah. And he is in those circles, but he just doesn't have it himself, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But he's tatted. He's kind of jacked.
Yeah.
He's handsome looking cat. You know, he's like normal looking for like a Stanford, again, whatever you would think a neurologist would look like. Yeah. I don't think it would look like him. And then, he's bros with all the cool guys. So, of course, it's going to do well. I do wonder how all the bros, like, choose that, like, him to be a homie.
That's a really good question. I don't have an answer for that. It's probably just what you said. It's probably the muscles.
Because they said Lex Fridman kind of launched him first, I think.
Yeah. And it's weird. There are two Lex Fridmans. And I was not aware of this until recently. I was actually, or have been, a fan of the other Lex Fridman.
Oh, I only know the is it Columbia or Yale or whatever?
The other Lex Fridman is someone who it came up through the podcast world and was involved at the beginnings of Stitcher and one of the ones before that. And it's like, you know, he was, before Stitcher got bought, he was like the head of advertising sales, like a director or VP or whatever, advertising.
So very different.
Used to be on a podcast himself. I think he maybe still is, but it's different.
Yeah. Whereas this other Lex is like the first dude to do the metaverse interview with Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He recently had it's funny how the worlds collide so fast. I've been on like Twitch since like 2014, watching and streaming since like 2015, 16. There's a StarCraft player that's just like getting a bunch of love right now, Destiny. And he switched to like political commentary, but he was on Lex Fridman and debated Ben Shapiro. And then even yesterday, I was just watching half of it because it's fucking like 3 hours. He was just with Jordan Peterson debating him. And it's just crazy, the world. Like, same thing. Like, Derek More Plays More Dates was on, Jordan Peterson. I think that's like a Canadian connection or some shit. But either way, like, people are just so crazy in the world right now. I posted that and just saying, like, wow, that's a crazy, like, collab to see. That's literally all I did. I got, like, two DMs. Like, I see who you are now, Mike, later.
Bruh.
I'm like, bro, if you can't listen to another human speak that has a different opinion than you, we're fucked.
Yeah.
I didn't say like, wow, Jordan Peterson crushed that debate, or wow, I believe every word and belief that Jordan Peterson has. Yeah. I didn't say shit. I said, wow, this is a crazy collab. And the whole first hour of the podcast is talking about Derek, More Plates, More Dates, come up in YouTube. Like, what's so controversial about this guy's origin story?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are fucking crazy out there. And then you wonder why the world's fucked, why everyone's violent, why everyone's got no friends. Because you can't even listen to another man speak through a screen without freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. I am very negative on Jordan Peterson for a lot of reasons.
I mean, that's fine. But if you can't listen to another human speak, that's a red flag and a half.
But if people are not, I mean, if it's not about the things that I think that he is propagating that are not in the best interest of most people, then okay, that's fine.
But I'd even argue that, like, you can't speak, you can't listen to him.
No, I don't. I actually don't listen to people that I find negative. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that just is screaming echo chamber issues.
I don't think so, because it's not that I'm I don't disconnect from learning about the issues. I just don't want to deal with people who have such a one-sided view of a particular thing.
I think that's everyone. That's the issue. That's the echo chamber.
I don't know.
I mean, that's what they talk about, people being extreme on either side.
I think, no,
same idea you even brought up with Humor. Like, as soon as something comes up about him, everyone's like just screaming to defend him or screaming to kill him.
Yeah.
Well, why is that? Because we're on these extreme opinions rather than just listening to everything. Like, he might have cheated on his girlfriend. I don't know.
I think that might have it's inconsequential to the rest of his whatever.
That's, you know, the point.
But
right?
It's pretty clear that he's pretty clear he did. There's plenty of evidence of that.
But he's still just a human. I don't know if there's evidence per se. I mean, there's people's words,
text messages.
And, yeah, I didn't see any or hear any of that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely it's in there.
But either way, to me, it's regardless. My point is just that, like, if you're so reactionary to everything in this external world, unless it feels whatever I believe, yeah, I think that's an issue, and that's where we're so divided.
Well, like I said, I'm fully open to finding out the facts about things that are not propagated by somebody who has only one opinion about it.
I think that's 99.9% impossible.
I think it's pretty impossible when there's actually research about stuff. You know, when there's
if you're reading papers, like if you're reading scientific papers,
yeah, and sure. or interpretations of such things, like,
but any interpretation then wouldn't be fact.
It totally can be fact.
No, by definition,
you can restate a fact without distorting it.
Right. But you said interpretation. By definition, interpretation takes away fact.
I think a
because it's through someone else's lens.
I disagree most of the time relative to that, for sure.
Well, then what's the definition of interpretation?
Well, interpretation is exactly what you were saying before, putting it in language that people can more broadly understand.
Oh, in my opinion, interpretation would be taking something and then putting it through a lens.
No, that's opinion. That's,
I don't know. I think by definition,
editorial, as opposed to a description of.
Well, yeah, description is different than interpretation.
Here, it's still an interpretation because you're taking it from one set of language to another set of language.
But that would just be a transcript then, right?
No. Transcript is exactly the same. I'm explaining it, breaking it down. That's the other way to put it, a breakdown.
Yeah, breakdown's different than interpretation too, I would say.
Well, we're going to disagree on this one because I think that in an interpretation and a breakdown, this is, you know, from this point of view, from this person.
Yeah, point of view.
But
that's point of through view, someone's lens.
Yeah, point of view of an authority, though.
Sure. But that's if you agree with that authority or not. They could still be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I never read anything that I disagree with.
No, I know, but we got to break down the definitions of those things. If you're going through someone's point of view, then it's by definition not fact. because everything's going to be interpretation if it's by someone's point of view. Because they're taking the info and then they're giving you what they believe in that info. That's what a point of view is. That's where you stand in the information.
I don't agree with you that in totality. I believe that that can happen, but I don't think that that's what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I'm just talking about definition of point of view, is that it's not...
I don't have to go to the people who only believe one particular way to understand what two sides of an issue are. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and that's fine. That's different than the definitions of point of view or interpretation, I think. But to me, I just think everything is through someone's lens, especially nowadays. Kind of how I was even joking about Twitter. I don't know what to believe about Diddy. I don't know what to believe about, because there's so much attention and money given to content, and nowadays that everyone has an agenda. So the chances that I'm getting pure fact, besides a research paper, but even then, the world doesn't work through science. You know, science works through science, but like something like Diddy or whether Huberman did something or not, whether all that is just point of view. And that's, I guess, and everyone can go about finding their own point of view or their own beliefs however they'd like, for sure. But my general point is that if you just group everyone together because they're going to listen to other people's point of view, I think that's insane. And I think that's the root of some of our issues. So for people to demonize me because I listen to another man speak, I think is fucking wild. I think if you break that down, that's the wildest concept ever.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
I mean, that's literally like fascism. Like, that's fucking crazy.
If you were hook, line, and sinker of somebody who is a, we'll get into it in a bit, cult figure.
Yeah.
Then if you're hook, line, and sinker and you're just spouting that stuff over and over again, people saying, I'm done with you, would make sense. Because
sure.
Yeah.
But that's fine if you don't want it. Absorb my content.
Correct.
Because of that.
Yeah.
But to, just like demonize a whole group of people for listen. I mean, that's literally, I think, the root of our entire cultural issue right now.
I think that people are too sensitive to that wild. Kind of thing. I completely agree with you.
That's like
that
a 5-year old.
Yeah.
But like, I if I don't see it, it's not there.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But and it's not like.
But people do that with politics all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't want to have anything. So there are some people who's like, I don't want to have anything to do with politics. Like, well, politics affects you, buddy. Like, you might want to know about it.
Well, and I do, ignorance is bliss. So like, if you want to avoid it all, that's fine. But I think just avoiding one person's voice, and probably that guy never even listened to Jordan Peterson. Not that I'm saying he's great or you have to believe in it, but like that dude's like reading headlines and then judging me based on the headlines that he, you know what I mean? Because he's from the other side of the political, which is wild. And again, the interview was with More Plates, More Dates, who's a fucking steroid guy.
Right.
You know? Even this new one with Destiny, I was going to bring it up, is because it is fucking just like the epitome of like good internet politics. They're not attacking each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fucking chatting. And it gets a little fired up, you know? Because they're both like type A type folks, but like, I think it's just so good to actually have that. Mm-hmm. And Jordan says in the beginning, and it's probably a little clickbaity, but in his intro, he basically says that how many people he's reached out to have like a discussion, and either one, he doesn't want to talk to them because they're fucking crazy, or two, that they just won't have like a normal discussion because it always ends up talking shit on each other. But Destiny's a really smart cat. I've been a fan of Destiny for a while, at least his content. I don't agree with everything he says, but he's pretty level-headed. And the conversation is just extremely level-headed, I think, for what you expect on a political chat.
Yeah.
On the internets.
Yeah. Back to Huberman for a second. A couple of things that bug me without, you know, even getting into the personal life stuff is that... when he launched the podcast, he's like, well, this is not an extension of my work.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this is an informational thing where people are making themselves better and whatever. But he called it Huberman Lab.
True.
And he's got a lab.
But then he wasn't living there, right? Like, he was in L.A.?
Yeah, he lives in L.A. and the lab is at Stanford. They're pretty far apart for those of you who live
outside
of California. It's like a 6-hour drive. It's unless he's making the kind of money that lets him bounce him back and forth by plane all the time.
There's no way, right?
There's essentially no way that he's running the day-to-day operations of it. Like,
Now he's making that money for sure.
Andy Galpin
yeah.
has a lab.
Yeah.
But he's Jimmy Bagley has a lab.
Yeah, they're active professors.
They're at universities. They're active yeah. professors. Like, I don't think that's what's going on with Huberman. And there are, like, very varying reports about what actually is contained in this lab and whether anyone's currently working at it. Stanford says one thing, but if I were Stanford, like, until the guy, like, kills somebody or falls off a cliff or whatever, they're going to defend him. So
yeah, I even though I was reading on Twitter that some sponsors they think already pulled out, which is just like, it is also hairy to me. I first just want to say that we rotated from P. Diddy to Huberman, and me personally, I'm not throwing them in the same fucking basket for starts. Just no, for all those listening,
more about figures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just the internet going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said like Whoop and some of these people already are off his website and shit.
Yeah.
Which is a day.
Yeah, which is a day. And
that's crazy.
Like I one of the last times that we talked about him, I was talking about the fact that he does ads for Athletic Greens. Like, it's something.
Yeah, they ripped Athletic Greens apart in that article.
Yeah, they did. And it was so funny. It was Lane Norton, our yeah. friend Lane Norton, who on his show said, like, there's no
yeah.
There's on Huberman's show, there's no like reason to believe that there's no science behind
yeah.
75 ingredients in a supplement.
Clearly there's like white coat bias, and there has been for a decade or a century, right? Yeah. Like, it's been a thing. And so obviously they're talking about Huberman in that stance, but they compare him to Joe Rogan, which I think is interesting too, where they're like, oh, like, you know, I'm summarizing here, but they're like, we don't fault Joe Rogan for pushing Athletic Greens. He's just Joe Rogan. But Huberman, he should not be pushing Athletic Greens. And I'm like, to me, it's the same.
Oh, it's totally the same.
Right? Yeah. Like Rogan has put himself into a position of authority.
Yeah.
Two, obviously, like one of the most heard voices on the planet.
Yeah.
And then three, talks about health and fitness like he's an expert. So yeah. then, like, why wouldn't you put him in the same, just because Huberman's name is lab or doctor?
Yeah.
Like, right, yeah, right. There is a white coat bias, and I'm not a big fan of that in general, but yeah, it's just weird. Like, in the article, they purposely like mention that.
Yeah.
And I think that's so odd. Where, like, and then, I mean, the whole thing is just so complex and odd to me too, right? Like, yeah, just because the guy's a cheater and probably pretty scummy with how he abuses people and friendships and everything, like, sounds like he's not fucking awesome. That also doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't know about mice eyes or whatever the fuck he studies, you know, but like the article kind of talks like that, and he did obviously stretch well beyond his area of expertise, but he's had good guests on, like we said. Like, I think Andy Galpin's been on there, Lane Norton's been on there, and again, that's from our world and our yeah. side. Like, we believe those are good guests, and other people may think Andy Galpin's a, you know, if you think ruby stones are going to make you jacked or something, then you yeah. obviously think Andy Galpin's a witchcrafty, you know, and it is all whatever. But they're real scientists, at least from our experiences over a decade with both of them. It seems like they're actually trying to do good.
Yeah.
And that's the other big, you know, pedestal that they put Huberman on. They're like, yeah, he comes from just trying to make everybody good. And I'm like, man, I don't know.
He has good guests on, but like, part of the having a good guest on is the halo effect that you get from having those people around.
Yeah, because everyone's stamping each other.
Right, yeah. And it looks like because they're on his show, they're endorsing him.
Right.
Which, you know, like I would say with Lane isn't so much true.
It's
I don't
a tough,
know about the others.
That's a tough thing in general with content, you know, because like it even goes back to my argument of you want to listen to other people, and I think you need to hear other sides and you need to hear all arguments to make a good opinion yourself. But then like I'm guilty of it from my own content creation that I wouldn't platform someone that I don't believe in,
right?
And so like I don't think we should shut them off the internet or block them. I think you should listen to multiple points of view, but then like me platforming it does feel weird in certain instances, you know?
Yeah.
And that's mostly just because of yeah I guess my ego, but that is also internet culture.
Yeah,
you are almost stamping someone or bringing them into your crew if you're featuring them on something.
Yeah, that's for sure,
you know. And that's just where we're at as an internet culture, but I don't know if that's right either. You know, unless you set it up like a debate And then the world knows that you're debating, that you're probably opposite opinion of this person.
Right.
Like this Jordan Peterson Destiny thing. They set it up that way. They're face off, you know.
Yeah.
And so you could just tell, like, all right, these guys. But even that, they could be best friends.
Right.
But then because of the internet culture, you're like, oh, they debate. They're not best friends.
Right.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson's only best friends with Huberman or whoever the fuck.
Or whoever. The thing this always says to me about the popularity of folks like this is that a lot of guys don't know how to be guys unless somebody tells them how to be guys. And that bothers me at such a basic level. I don't know if that's like a fatherhood failure or,
yeah,
you know, or exactly what it is.
But I mean, that's the most common thing ever, right? That's where like Andrew Tate rose to stardom.
Yeah.
Like all these guys are rising to stardom. Sneeko even started down that path. Like a lot of content creators take that and make a lot of money and run with it.
Yeah, because they can.
Yeah, and it probably is a lack of father figures in the world, and probably since, I don't know what the data says, but I'd imagine the 80s, 70s, you know, single family households or single parent households have probably fucking tenfolded since then.
Probably so.
You know, yeah. And so that might be a big thing. That might be a thing. And it's kind of everything, and that is like the cult mind, right? Like you find and the stats show it, you know, it's like money, getting girls, and like getting jacked. Like those are the three things that you can harp on anyone.
Yeah.
And so if you find that crew, I mean, the fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie showed us, like you find some kids that are distraught and you build a cult with them.
Yeah.
Right. Like you find someone who's a little lost, who is just figuring out their way, which is everyone, by the way, like everyone goes through at least a chapter of that.
Yeah.
And then you find them in a vulnerable spot and you bring them in promising all this stuff, you know, the cold plunge promises you no anxiety, better muscles, you're going to be a millionaire, you know,
right.
you throw all these things in there. Red light promises you 20 different things. It is funny, we just bring it up so much, but Eric Helms, like step 1 through 5 of how to spot a gimmick,
yeah,
is just everywhere. It's in everything Huberman's ever said, and that was our main critique on him, and it probably still is at least my main critique. Like,
yeah.
Cheating is bad. I don't, you know, I'm all against infidelity and stuff, but he is a human. But him stretching outside of his expertise to sell stuff,
yeah,
because it's not stepping outside of your expertise to like push the boundaries of what you think is good.
Yeah,
you know, like I was just talking to one of our members, Jerry, out there, and I'm giving him a bunch of things I think are good because he's trying to train his brother, et cetera. Oh, Jerry, we had him on the podcast.
Yeah,
y'all know Jerry now. And I'm talking to Jerry because his little brother, and I'm telling him just fitness things I think are good.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not monetizing off of any of those.
Right.
I'm literally just giving my advice, and those may be wrong, although I think I'm an okay expert at lifting. And I'm just but the point is, Huberman's giving all these things and then making money off all these things.
Right.
Right. He's talking about all these vitamins. He's selling you AG1. He's talking about taking ice baths. He's selling you a cold tub. He's talking about a red light thing. He has a red light company. Like, right. Everything's so calculated that, like, and then within that layer, everything he's telling you fixes everything.
Yeah.
It's not like cold plunge is really good when you have this bullseye of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'll be like, oh, that might make sense. You know? Like, but it fixes everything. It fixes everything. And so you're just like, man. But again, white coat biased. He's friends with the biggest creators. I mean, I don't know by numbers. I'm pretty fucking sure Rogan's number one podcast in the world.
Rogan's still number one, yeah.
But I imagine Huberman, Friedman, and Rogan combined probably outdo any other three on the planet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Lex Friedman's podcast goes nuts, and I actually enjoy it. I think Lex talks a little bit like Spock, but he always has interesting guests and interesting takes. I've never really liked Huberman's voice, so I just never listened to a ton of them, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I think that a lot of it, too, comes down to being able to listen to stuff with a critical filter, you know? It's like, wait a minute. Like, I'm not going to hook, line, and sinker this because it doesn't make actual sense to me. Or that's not a thing in the real world. Or, you know?
Yeah. It's just hard, though, right? Because everyone who listens to Huberman is probably not a wellness expert.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, if we had more wellness experts, our whole nation wouldn't be sick and fat, right? Like, obviously, people have no clue what fucking works.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, yeah. So they it's hard to filter something you have no clue. Like me listening to like a mechanic episode or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I know how to fucking use a drill, but I don't know shit about what's going on under the hood, you know? And this guy's telling me this stuff. I'll just probably tend to believe it because they are, you know?
Yeah.
That's the other issue with the content in general, is the amount of people that gain popularity for like having nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and Huberman's obviously incredibly smart, because if he did a Mice Eye podcast, it's not getting any views.
No, that's true. That's
right?
True.
So like he had to go outside of his expertise.
Yeah. And then people, you know, people pick up on whatever vocabulary that he's borrowed and thrown into the show, and they use it with, like, they understand what right. it means. And he or may or may not understand what it means. It just fits.
Yeah.
It fits the content. And it's, this is not just like wellness. Like, I actually, you know, consume content outside of fitness, actually mostly outside of fitness, because I don't always vibe with what's out there. Anyway, there's an account that I follow on Instagram, and it's like it's like building renovation kind of stuff, you know? And 50% or more of the time, you know, the guy's showing what he did. It's like, don't do this, do this. And a ton of people will come and say, look, I've been a contractor for 25, 30 years or whatever. That's wrong.
Right.
It's just fucking wrong.
Right.
You shouldn't do it that way, and that's going to fall apart in 6 months.
But that guy gets the most views.
And the guy gets tons of views. Yeah. And
so I mean, he's the guy now.
Yeah. It's hard to... it's hard to vet that stuff if you don't know anything about it
right.
at all.
It's the online coach argument. Like 80% of people who coach fitness online have never coached in person.
Yeah, and that's right? scary.
And not that you like have to nowadays, because it is such a different skill set, but like why wouldn't you, right? Like
right.
I'm just going to show you how to make a door frame, but I've never actually built a house.
Right.
I'm just showing you how to make a door frame out of nowhere. Like, yeah, obviously in that isolated bubble of me making a door frame, I could edit it to make it look like I know exactly what's going on and it looks perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah, some real expert goes and is like, dude, that thing's going to fall off the hinge, or it's not going to lock, or whatever the fuck. And that's kind of, yeah, just the internet. And that is getting even weirder with deep fakes. It's getting weirder with voices. Like, yeah, reality is getting quite blurry.
What did I just have to do? I think it was YouTube. I think that now there's a question about whether or not you've used any deepfakes in your video.
Me in general?
No, people.
People. I was like, me? Fuck. I was like, I haven't done anything that crazy.
Have you seen that?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think it's mainly for like shorts, but also like long form.
Bro, I think I mentioned on the podcast, I have like a couple accounts that follow me, and I'll just like click on a new follow or something that are 100% AI generated. They'll take like their face, and it's like you could tell because it's kind of in the same general direction. It's probably like the same selfie, and then now they're like in a dress in Paris, and they're in a dress on the beach, and I could just tell, like, I'm like, bro, that's so literally just AI.
And these are guys, right? So
both. Yeah, both. Swear to God, both. I mean, not the dress part, but they're both male and female, and their skin's obviously fucking perfect. Their eyes are fucking gleaming.
Popping.
Yeah, and it's just the whole page is just AI generated. And some of them got like, 50,000 followers or something. You're like, Jesus Christ. I get that it's like aesthetically pleasing, but how fake? You know, literally deep. I mean, deep fake music, I think we've talked about on here, is fucking crazy. Like, there's so much stuff. There's a Kai Cenat singing a Keisha Cole song, and it's so good. Like, he sounds legitimately good, but like, then he tried to sing it on stream and he can't sing worth shit. You know, he's just the worst singer ever. But like, the AI version, he's fucking crushing it. And you could still tell, like, if I played it, Steve Us would know. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds like his voice.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Yeah, reality's getting torn quick, man. We're Ready Player One's fucking
it's 10 years out
and Idiocracy.
Yeah Well, that's going to be the real world, is Idiocracy, and
yeah,
because we're all going to escape to the Ready Player One world.
Yeah.
You seen Idiocracy?
No.
That's your homework.
Yeah, Idiocracy. Seriously, we should do that on the show.
You seen you seen Wall-E?
Yeah.
So Idiocracy to me is like the slapstick comedy live action
of Wall-E.
Yeah.
Without as many robots.
Yeah, and they're not in outer space, but same general idea. Like, the core concept is the same. It's Owen Wilson, or what's his brother's name?
Luke?
Luke. It's Luke Wilson, right?
Yeah,
it's Luke Wilson.
The one without the nose.
Yeah, it's crazy. But some of that stuff is getting so real, you know? Burger King, or what is it? I think it's Carl's Jr. in the movie, like, runs the world.
Yeah.
Right? And Wall-E, basically a Walmart-style company, runs the world. Yeah, it's old. Oh, but it's like... so tapped into what the hell's going on.
Same guy's Office Space. Have you seen Office Space?
No. Office Space is in my opinion, Office Space is like a literal classic, and Idiocracy is like a funny, like a scary
classic.
Yeah, like a scary, funny.
Yeah,
because it's so true. But Office Space is gold. Office Space is so damn good. That's not Grandma's Boys too. Is that the same one? The video game movie?
I don't know. Possibly.
It might be Grandma's Boys too.
It's the same guy as Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, I know Beavis and Butthead.
And yeah. Oh my God, what's the propane one in Texas? What are they called? What's it called? King of the Hill.
I love King of the Hill.
I never really watched King of the Hill. I don't know why. I never really watched it.
Yeah. Same creator.
Yeah. Okay. Office Space is insanely good.
Yeah, it's too good. It's
going to lose relevancy though.
Yeah.
Right? Because like how many people work in an office like that?
Yeah,
like
half exactly.
The jokes are kind of insidey, or like the TGIF Fridays they go to, whatever the fuck that's called.
Yeah.
Like those restaurants are dying.
It was literally TGI Fridays.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty sure.
Stupid. How do they not get sued?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe it isn't TGI Fridays.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
But it basically feels like it.
It's
bad.
Flair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many pins you have to have on your uniform? That's not a thing anymore, I don't think.
No, but I'm sure it was somewhere.
All those movies. Because everything comes back.
Yeah, but The Office might not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not.
I don't know, man.
But I was having a conversation around this Huberman article yesterday by text with a friend, and we were talking about, he's like, once people get money, they change. And I was like, I think that money is like adversity. It's like the flip of adversity. It reveals. It doesn't really change.
Yeah, or potential.
And I said, I don't think that people. I don't think people really change.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I've changed. I used to not believe in this kind of thing, and now I do believe in this kind of thing, and something changed along the way. And I'm like, well, was that? I think it's often an emotional reaction that changes an intellectual reaction. Here's a safe one. The attitudes around marijuana,
yeah,
and legalization of marijuana. I mean, like that has definitely changed over time.
Yeah, quickly.
But yeah, but people had emotional reactions to folks who were using it, and it was helping them from a medical standpoint, or you know, the people who can, unlike me, it calms their anxiety, their paranoia, whatever. Once you have an experience with that kind of thing, it starts to change how you think about it.
Yeah.
And then how you think about it changes how you speak about it, and how you speak about it has an emotional effect on other people. And, you know.
Or like, yeah. But, yeah, it could go both ways because the experience too, right? The more you're like around stuff and like actually witness it versus like marijuana itself too, at least in America in my childhood, had like so much propaganda.
Yeah.
Like it was insane. Like the commercials when they'd smash an egg.
Yeah.
And they did just say drugs, but that basically the whole footage was them smoking a joint.
And they always say, like, that marijuana is a gateway drug.
Meanwhile, the very next commercial is pushing Budweiser because you're going to get hot chicks and you're going to be jacked when you drink Budweiser. Like the media machine of all that plays such a like thick role and kind of the emotional attachment. But still, and then growing up, right? Wherever you grew up, if you grew up around it or didn't grow up around it, your opinions were probably more drawn to that. Exposure is like such a, you know, even the meathead stereotype, whatever it is, right? But until you go to a real gym and you meet some smart people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it is tough.
I've been in this business a while, and I am still shocked by the people who don't have, you know, don't have a medical degree or a PhD in something or whatever, who are meatheads, who also are just super smart.
Yeah,
I'm always still blown away by that. I shouldn't be by now. Yeah. I should not have that expectation, but I do. But the thing is, like, their personalities are complicated in that they are also meatheads.
Yeah.
They're not
Omar or somebody.
Yeah, they're not just intellectuals, but they are also truly meatheads. They're as meathead as any other meathead.
Yeah,
but they're also intellectual.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, still. And that might be a little bit newer, right? Because I'm sure when lifting was really first popular in the 60s or whatever, maybe they were all just doofuses.
Potentially.
You know, who knows? Because those still exist, right? Or athletes, same idea. Athletes get a rap for being absolute idiots, but I've met some that are crazy intelligent, but I've also met some that are just complete morons.
Yeah.
And only literally only good at whatever they do.
Speaking of, this is an aside, speaking of marijuana, I highly recommending The Gentleman on Netflix. It's a Guy Ritchie created series about members of the British aristocracy being basically they are hosting marijuana grows underground on their estates.
This is all sitcom-y?
It's funny. It's definitely funny. I don't know.
But it's not real.
No, it's not real as far as I know. But like you still can't like legally buy pot in
Europe,
in England.
Yeah, because obviously, which is weird, right? Because a lot of Europe moves together in a lot of places, you know. Like I'm sure it's been legal in obviously the Netherlands and shit, but I think Germany, I think a lot of places it's been legal.
Yeah,
like highly recreationally. Yeah, bars and shit.
Right.
Which is weird. And then talk about like, yeah, I don't know if it's propaganda or just stereotype. Like, that's still not a thing in America. The first, I think, lounge opened in Vegas, like, this year.
Yeah, it's not that big a thing.
Right? But it's been legal in, like, Colorado and Washington and Oregon for over a decade.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly why, except that there's still a federal prohibition against it. And so that could get exercised at some point, and they could, you know, lose a whole business or whatever.
Sure.
But also, they could just switch to alcohol and not have to worry about it. But
then you look at alcohol too, right? And we look at deaths and danger.
Yeah,
we got bars on every corner. Yeah, it's just wild.
Tremendously more dangerous. It's just like grandfathered into the to the culture.
100%. Because I'm sure there's some, and maybe this is conspiracy Mike talking, but I'm sure there's some kind of back end deal going on with lobbying.
Oh, there has to be. There has to be.
Fucking someone's making money somewhere. What were they talking about with Huberman and alcohol? That he was like the first to demonize it? They had a big part on that too.
He was, demonizes alcohol for sure. Drinking to excess, I guess. Not so much not drinking at all, but drinking to excess.
Yeah, which is a wild thing that, you know, like went viral 6 months ago about like not even one drink's healthy for you. Like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to kill you, but like, because they did, and that's probably propaganda too, right? Like the big wine or whatever is making it show that red wine cures cancer. You know, there was shit like that forever, my whole life. You know,
the what they call the French paradox, where people who drank red wine every day had better health outcomes, but that study was way flawed.
It just makes no sense. Like, there's no way putting wine in my body once a day for my entire life is going to make an effect versus not having it.
And I mean
negative or positive.
Kind of the theory was like with wine or beer or whatever, in moderation it has a thinning effect on your blood, so you're less likely to have heart attacks and strokes.
And they're about like resveratrol and all this shit.
Yeah, which
probably is very
resveratrol minimal. Doesn't do much of anything at all except give you diarrhea.
Yeah. Well, and the stats could probably be swayed because you could find countries that drink more wine than beer.
Yeah.
If you're big wine. And those are also probably countries that tend to walk more, have more public transit, right? And then you look at America, consumes more beer than wine and everyone's fat and dying. But there's too many factors to, right?
And the kind of big alcohol is collapsing.
Yeah.
Like there are fewer people drinking right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's like brings up, you know, not to rap, but you bring that up and like Huberman obviously fucking destroyed whatever, 5 or 6 women's lives and fucked with them pretty bad. Maybe not obviously, but allegedly. I'm not going to court. But then like, did he get a bunch of people to stop drinking? And like, I'm not a cold plunger or red light guy, but we've talked about it over the last 15 years of our podcasting with like supplements and other things. I am for if something keeps you in routine and locked in, that it's probably a net positive.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not a pre-workout guy. I don't really care. I don't think it does shit. Even creatine, I think, is probably overrated. I know there's tons of studies and it's safe and all that, and there's some benefits, but like people talk about it like it's steroids. Like it's not going to help you like crazy. But if taking 5 grams of creatine every morning allows you to be in a routine to move your body more, eat more broccoli, sleep better, then yeah, man, be a creatine addict, right? So there's a net positive there.
Yeah.
I wonder how we measure that or what the public view is, or even if they consider it, I guess, is my bigger option with Huberman, you know?
Oh, you mean on balance, has he done more good than harm?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Because again, like we started this whole thing with P. Diddy, and like that is allegedly, I'm not going to court there either. They say, folks say, you know, that's like devilish activity. Like that's bad. That's bad human. Where, you know, so far what I've read on Huberman, like probably not a guy I want to hang out with, but like, is he the devil? I don't know. You know, and I talk about all this stuff too in jest, but and semi-serious when we're, people talk about R. Kelly and Michael Jackson and they throw them in the same categories. And I've watched all the documentaries I could on both.
Yeah. The Corey Feldman thing. Have you seen that? It popped up again recently.
I know that name. Who's Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman was an actor who was very close to, he's in Stand By Me. He's
close to Michael Jackson.
Very close to Michael Jackson. And he was one saying that like Hollywood is full of pedophiles.
Yeah.
Who prey on child actors and aspiring child actors, and they're like in the interview, like, what about Michael Jackson? It's like, Michael Jackson never touched me. He didn't do any of that stuff as far as I know, but I know who did. And and you know, he claims that no one's wanted to listen to him.
Yeah. I mean, that's like where the whole thing goes. And I'm obviously a huge Michael Jackson fan, so I do it in jest and in semi-serious though. But like, you interview like even the parents of the kids and stuff, and they were all on the campus when the kids visited. Not to say that he's innocent. I don't know. I don't know shit. I was not there. But then like, you talk to the parents of R. Kelly's victims, and they haven't talked to their kid in 10 years. Their kid won't answer their call or answer their text.
Right.
Like, it's just a very different vibe going on.
Right.
Right. This P. Diddy seems to be more along the line of that, or Epstein, or whatever the fuck's going on, which I don't care how much gorgeous music you put out. Like, it's still a net negative now. Right. Like, all that goes away. Like, you could have been the best artist, and P. Diddy's not even in that conversation, but hypothetically, the most miraculous musical genius of time. But now it just goes away. Like, you fucked up, bro. Like, you're a piece of shit, you know? But Huberman, you know, not, again, I don't think cheating's good. But, like, is he the devil? I don't know. Is he just a, you know? The other thing, too, is he's just human, right? And so, like, Leonardo DiCaprio has been famous since he was 14. Mm-hmm. He's in a lot of these things, too, now with Nickelodeon and other things coming about. But hypothetically, you know, like, he was, like, taught to be famous.
Yeah,
right? Because he was raised that way. So whether he's PR trained or he's just a good dude, no shots at Leonardo. You know, he's not going to go about those stuff.
Gosling, same thing.
Yeah, right. All these guys. Yeah,
child star. All
the
adult star.
The Paul brothers.
Yeah,
you know, well, I don't know about adult stars. A little weird.
Yeah,
but he's
not adult film star.
He's an adult. Yeah,
star as an adult.
And so they basically been taught, or lack of a serious but probably true, groomed to be famous.
Yeah,
or like human popped out of famous at whatever he is, 48. In 2021,
yeah,
you know, like, he is just human. Everyone's got flaws. Hopefully they're not cheating and playing six women's lives, but no one's perfect.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about that is just the is a lack of transparency about it,
for sure,
for his partners. You know, just if that's who you're gonna be, like, I have a friend who that's his thing, but he's like very upfront about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, this is what's going on with me. If that's not something that you in like or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
much better way to go about it.
Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And it is just a tight correlation with his, maybe not lying, but because he may believe his own shit, but stretching his educational truths.
Yeah, exactly. I want to actually sort of close this out if you're comfortable with it.
Sure.
This is an article from Very Well Mind, which is a site I don't know anything about, but it's a list from the Cult Education Institute of the specific warning signs to look out whether a group might be a cult. And I think that is a lot of what goes on behind the just that blind belief in a particular figure,
sure,
like a Huberman or constantly defending whatever. Okay, so
That still just surprised me how like fast both sides on Twitter are to either like condemn him or protect him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, one, you guys, no one knows him here. Like, Lex Friedman talked about it. That's fine. Like, he's your buddy. You know, like, at least you're semi-attached to the situation, you can make a statement.
Yeah.
But there are millions of people that have
nothing to do with, yes.
And you're so attached to your belief of this human that you don't know, that you've listened to for hours in a calculated audio.
Yeah.
And now you're going to fucking go to war for this dude?
Yeah.
Either side. It's fucking it's just weird to me. I think, again, like that's like the bigger picture issue of all this. Like it exposes, the cult or anti-cult. I don't care what side you're on. I think you're wrong.
And I think, and we talked about this before too with Huberman, that like once you get into that groove, you're stuck searching for other kinds of guests that so you can continue to make content on a schedule.
And for sure.
And so you get into stuff that you shouldn't get into because you've given yourself essentially no out, no other way to deal with it.
Which is like okay if you're saying like I'm a content creator or I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
Right. But then the white coat bias plays in.
Correct.
And that's the issue.
If he was not a doctor of anything, he would just be with Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Which is like fine, right? But then we got to take it for entertainment.
Yeah. So here are the 10 things. Absolute authoritarianism without accountability. I mean, you would say that just what we saw in his relationships, that's probably
possible.
That's probably a true thing. Zero tolerance for criticism or questions. That's number two. Lack of meaningful financial disclosure regarding budget. That's really more of an organized cult kind of situation.
Yeah, they're throwing shots at the church.
Yeah. Unreasonable fears about the outside world that often involve evil conspiracies and persecutions. Plenty of that out there. Not necessarily, I'm not saying specifically about Huberman. However, for a scientist, there are a lot of people who follow him, some of them have some very, I would say, anti-science kind of beliefs, you know?
Sure. For being a science podcast.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of guests on that aren't even close to science.
That's, a belief that former followers are always wrong for leaving and there is never a legitimate reason for anyone else to leave. That's obviously a very organized cult kind of situation.
Yeah, but I don't know because I think it stretches to even like my example of people blasting me for watching a Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's just so anti. Like that guy who hated on me could have been a Jordan Peterson fan 8 years ago.
Oh, potentially.
Right?
Yeah.
Then ripped out and then now I'm the devil because I listen to a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a very, very big Joe Rogan fan and I'm not anymore because I think he strayed into territory that he should have left
alone.
Yeah,
he stretches. He stretches for sure.
And so I don't consume any of his content anymore after I listened to it for hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours. And they talk about in customer satisfaction, that somebody who really is pissed off at you because something happened with their order or their service or whatever, and if you can appease them, they'll flip
and
they'll become as ardent a fan or customer as they were a hater.
Right, or double down.
Yeah, and I think that's just true everywhere. I don't think it's limited to that circumstance. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Abusive members. Who knows? Records, books, articles, or programs documenting the abuses of the leader or group. Now, that's very much a group thing.
Yeah, but now we're into Scientology.
Every single documentary about a cult has so much footage.
Yeah,
like
that's
they
true.
Shot everything. Like, what the hell?
That is true. Yeah, especially modern day shit that's happening now that's not even reported. Imagine like the next documentary on the next cult in 2025 is going to be...
Everything.
Yeah, it's going to be a 4K.
Yeah, exactly. Everything. Followers feeling that they are never able to be good enough.
For sure. You need to keep the sheep.
Yeah, exactly. A belief that the leader is right at all times. This is really it.
I think that's, again, like the core issue that I'm trying to argue with all this stuff is like the internet cultures that. The internet is breeding that.
Yeah.
And as a society, we do that everywhere. Whether it's black and white.
Right.
And it's this guy or that guy. And this guy's 100% right. And that guy's 100% wrong.
Yeah.
Like that world doesn't work that way.
No.
You know, like all of them are probably closer to a 60-40, 50-50, no matter what, just depending on the topic and the day. I'm sure I've said shit that's fucked. Like you start doing long form content or you're on the internet a lot. Yeah. You're going to misspeak and you're not going to be perfect. And yeah, it's just wild. That I don't know, man. It's bad.
And the last one, a belief that the leader is the exclusive means of knowing the truth or giving validation.
Yeah. And again, very content-y, online-y.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, bad things. bad path it seems we're headed. Yeah. But who knows? So many sheeple.
That's the thing. That really is just like, and because we're consuming a lot of that kind of thing on the internet, you don't even know how many of those are real people.
No, for sure. Or they real could be beliefs.
Bots or real beliefs, people who are just taking a position. Like, yeah. I don't know how I'm sure that it's happened to you a ton. It's certainly happened to me where someone takes just a really arch position.
Yeah.
And if you confront them about it, they so often fold. Yeah. If depending on how you do it, but sure. They so often fold and say, especially if somebody says something really like negative, critical.
Yeah.
You go, and they'll go, oh, well, I didn't mean anything by that. Well, then why the fuck did you say it?
Yeah, like, Destiny brought it up in this debate. He basically was talking about his own political beliefs, how they don't lie necessarily exactly in one party. Like, and it is kind of true, and that's kind of why I like him. Like, the left doesn't really accept them, and the right definitely doesn't accept them. But he said what he thinks is most people, and he's not even talking about political party. He's talking about most people find a community, whatever that is, a group of friends even, and you just tend to base your beliefs fully on what that group is starting to do, right? Like trends.
Yeah.
Which is just a bigger group and a louder group now that we have the internet. Back in the day, maybe that's cool, right? Because we're both farmers. And so we both have farm-like beliefs that have to do with our occupation that takes up most of our life, which ends up being a little bit more authentic and true to who we are. But now with the internet, chances you find like someone who like has lived experiences like you is probably kind of low.
Yeah.
Because we're all just so unique. But now you're just grouping all your beliefs with whatever this fucking half-ass group has.
Right.
You know? And same idea. Yeah, you push against that. They probably don't have an argument because they're just following this group.
Yeah, and because you can't figure out how to believe in your own thing without validating from
his biggest argument is that people don't base any political views or decisions in life on like a moral code. That they base it on a trend on around.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just not as thick. And he's so right with that. And I think that goes to it goes with all this shit. You get your own perspective on things based on your own moral code, and then what fits into that code stays and what doesn't you leave. Mm-hmm. That's probably how we should move. But who the fuck am I? I got to pay.
On that note.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3sb.co, all your apparel needs, 3rd Street, Barbell, Sacramento, California. New episodes Wednesday and Friday. I'm Solomon Mike. Where you want to find me?
I am at the Jim McDing on all the social media. This show is 50% facts, where percent is a word and 50 is just numbers. 50% facts is a Spreaker Prime podcast in association with iHeartMedia on the Obscure Celebrity Network. And we'll talk to you next time.